We're going to go back this morning into a teaching we have been doing in due time. And God's been dealing with me this because, you know, understanding, one of the things you have to understand is the time that we're in. There's been a lot of teaching concerning the future. I was listening on radio, there was a minister talking about end times, and he was talking about all the teaching over the years and people talking about the end times and what the end, and really how over the years that people have missed it and the things that they've taught about it. And he was talking about that. And there's so much, people have this interest. There's this big interest, you know, people always have is about the future. But the big thing is what you do right now. You may not make it to the future if you don't know what's going on now. And it doesn't matter what the future is. If the future might be holding out there. And God does want to reveal things to us. You know, the Bible says a lot of things about the end times and says a lot of things. There's numbers of things, of prophecies and different things that are said. But there's a lot been added to and added to things. Men's ideas and men, what people think about it. I'm big on the things of, well, what can we prove through the Word? Well, what can we prove? Because, you know, that's what will hold you and it'll keep you standing. There's one thing is I've learned over the years in prophecy, and especially because God's had me prophesy many times on many things, it is not good to try to figure everything out on a prophecy, what a prophecy says. Most prophecy, and you need to get a hold of this, is not fulfilled right when a person says it and that's going to just happen. Most prophecy, you're not going to understand its fullness till the event takes place. And you can tie that event to many different things, but it ain't right. But you'll know one day when that prophecy comes. You know, they thought the Messiah had come through a number of other different people. People followed after. You studied Israel's history, they followed up, thought they were the Messiah. And then when the Messiah came along, they didn't even know it. Because, see, and this is one thing, it's very difficult. When you try to throw your own interpretations and people are trying to put their own interpretations on things, lots of times you can't see things till they take place. Many times prophecy, especially we look at Old Testament prophecies, a lot of it were dual prophecies. Many of them spoke of Israel at that time, but also spoke that same thing was going to be in the future. We're going to see that same type of an event come. And so we have those things. And this is why we're really the most fortunate of any group because the church has the Holy Spirit in them. We can be led by the Holy Spirit. We don't have to miss it like they did before. But the church has because they haven't listened to the Spirit. Men try to figure out the Bible by their mind. You know, one of the things that we were taught in Bible school, which is really a good thing, they said, you don't come up with an idea and then try to find a scripture that says what your idea is on something. You let scripture interpret, not you. And see, that's a lot of people do. They come up with ideas and then they find, you know, it's just like the people today, you know, they go around and try to find love scriptures, but they leave a lot of other scriptures out. So they just find the part that they want. And they say, well, God's love, and so he's going to love everybody, and everybody's going to be saved, and all that kind of stuff. They go through, they find scriptures, but they don't compare scripture with scripture. And so, it's one of the things to let the Bible interpret itself. It's a good thing to do. Now, last week we were talking about, we were over in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, where the Lord had dealt with me years ago, back in 1991, when the Lord spoke to me and one night and said, I'm going to show you what's going to happen through this valley in the last days. And he used for thing where it talks about Elijah the prophet. And you know, one thing I want you to get this picture of Elijah the prophet. Elijah was a prophet, and like we know from the standpoint, he's a very major prophet. If anyone spoke in the Bible concerning the prophet, there's a lot said about Elijah. And then his protege that came in after him, Elisha, they were really forerunners, but we understand they were sent to Israel and not Judea, not Judah. They were really the prophets over Israel. Judah at that time was, they had the temple and all that kind of stuff over there. The 10 tribes of Israel broke away and they were worshiping Baal and everything else under the sun. And God sent, really the foremost prophet of the time, sent him to them. See, it's one of the things that people look at is God's going to send the major ministries to the church. No, he don't. He'll send it to the heathen. He'll send it to people that are really messed up. You know, we shouldn't have to be trying to fit. We shouldn't have to need some big minister, something come to us to get us to believe, should he? But a lot of Christians, that's what they want. They look at that. They want it to themselves. God sent them over to Israel. They're worshiping Baal. And God sent this prophet there. Now, one of the things that the Lord talked to me, I'm not going to go back and read through it. We went last week, talked about these things. But one of the things that it opens up, there was a 3.5-year drought in the land. And the Lord spoke to me when he started to show me. He said, he showed me there was going to be a great spiritual drought. And what it's like, they had a physical drought there. But he talked to me about there's going to be a great spiritual drought in the end times. There's going to be. And boy, we're seeing that. Now, at the time when he told me that, that wasn't going on. Back in 1991, that wasn't happening. There wasn't a spiritual drought. But today there is. Today there's a real spiritual drought. See, people today, even, I mean, in the church world today, there's much things in dealing with people's, the way people believe in stuff has a lot to do with even Eastern religions. You know, we have this thing in America, and I hear people talking about, you always find this happens when God starts to move in people's hearts. People start getting weird. They either get in one side or the other in the ditch. It's like you get the people over here with a grace that, you know, it's a sloppy grace that you can do anything you want. Then you get people will get real religious, just as nutty over on the other side. Then they'll get over here and that stuff of, well, you know, we all got to, you know, give up everything and you got to get over here. You know, it isn't good to have nice stuff and it is, we ought to be, you know, the next thing you know, want to be monks. You know, we want to go, you know, get around and, you know, shave the top of our heads and like some of these guys did. And no, we're gonna become monks and we're gonna go live and we're gonna deny ourselves of all kind of stuff. And that ain't nothing but a bunch of religious bunk and junk. And then he start talking about, you know, people, you know, that what people start talking about things in the world, and what they do is they make natural things sound like natural things are not good. And there can be any more lie. You know, God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. There's going to be a new physical earth. It's not going to be some spiritual thing. It's going to be a glorified thing. It's going to be in perfection, but it's going to be a physical earth because you're going to be in a glorified physical body. There's nothing wrong with the physical world. See, if you go over in Eastern religion, see, they think that the physical world's bad and that's got to be done away with and you get, you know, real spiritual. And see, that's why they have all, you know, the monks and all that stuff in their groups and that stuff. And back yonder, they did that in Christianity. You'd have all these, you go deny yourself of all the worldly things is going to make you religious. Well, ain't that stupid? God's going to make a new earth. What, is he going to have us all get into sin or something? The earth's not bad. God created. Everything he created is good. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. But see, we get over into religious thinking. And so we're having this today. We're having both sides of the road showing up over the ditches on either side. And people like to play in each one. You know, you get an extreme on either side. And what happened? You're just in the ditch, you know. And so we're not doing that. You know, physical things. You know, I remember people used to, you know, say when I was a kid, you know, and back in the 50s, I don't want none of these earthly goods. And all these people had earthly goods. Well, they always said they did. Like it was some kind of spiritual statement and say, I don't want none of these earthly goods. Well, you didn't walk to church. You drove a car, you idiot. You didn't work any goods. What are you doing with clothing on? They didn't just fall off. You didn't pull it off a tree somewhere. It grew and you stuck it on. They do with Adam and Eve, sew fig leaves together or whatever. But don't use any thread because that's earthly. See, people get nutty in a fruitcake out here, you know. If something dumb can be done, religion will find out a way to do it. And so they get over into those things and over into that thinking. And, you know, one thing is I learned as a young Christian, as the Lord dealt with me, he said to me, motive is everything. Why you do what you do. That's what matters, you know. Why do you have what you have? Do you have what you have because, you know, it dominates and rules you? See, it's all about that. Those are the things and the motives that we do it. Stuff ain't bad. It's hard dealing with stuff is what's bad. You know, if what you own owns you, then, well, you didn't really own it anyhow. It owns you. You got a problem in that area. But that don't make the thing wrong. See, everybody said, you know, you can't have this, you can't have that, because this is not good. No, it's what people have done with certain things. People have done badly with certain things. There's good things that people have ruined because of what they did with it. And, that's the big thing. And so, we want to look at this because God wants to move. He said that there was going to be a spiritual drought. God is always going to try to visit people. You read the pattern in the Bible. No matter how even God had to judge Israel, no matter what he had to do with maybe one generation, he would always come and visit the next generation. He'd always come. He would always get a group. He would always try to reach people. That's the pattern of God. That's what he does. And he's always like that. And so we need to get the fact that God is love. You know, that we need to understand in the Word that the fact that people reap what they sow. I mean, if you take Israel, you know, Israel messed up till God pushed them out of the land. He let Babylon come down and haul them off, killed most of the people in the place because they got off into sin, wouldn't listen to God. They chose to just do it. So God let happen to them what they were doing, following other gods, doing all their thing. But God didn't quit on them. Actually, God ended up, for their own sake, they needed to be hauled off to Babylon so God could spare a remnant. Or they'd have all ended up dead to a bunch of idiots. You know, God's trying to spare people, and people just keep trying to kill themselves the best they can. And it is. It is today. God is trying to save people. God's trying his best to bless people. God is trying. And people just keep doing what the best they can to try to destroy themselves. But see, God sent them there, and what does God do? God visits them there, hauls them back, brings them back to the land. He don't quit. God has a plan, and God always wants to bless people. God always wants to do something. You get that, you know, no matter how nutty you get and dumb you get, God's always reaching out. He's always reaching out. And you got to get that in your mind. That's his nature. That's what he does. And that's why you got to follow the patterns of the Bible. No matter how judgment fell on people, it's because people called it themselves, you know. They wouldn't quit what they were doing, was going to kill them, you know. And so people blamed it on God, but it wasn't God. And what we're finding out here is in this thing, this drought that came, God had his prophet sit on the sideline for 3.5 years. Had him sit on the sideline. And God really doesn't deal with the people. He lets them in the middle of their trouble. We're having that today. You know, and we talked about the fact is one of the things that we have a problem with today is we try to fix everything. God's dealing with people, but we're trying to fix it ourselves. We're trying to keep everybody, you know, happy in the middle of their sin. We're trying to keep everything going. Sometimes you gotta let things go. You know, it's just like if you go back and read the whole story, you find out that Ahab, his servant had hid 100 prophets, 50 in one cave and 50 in another. So God had hidden away all his prophets. God didn't have a voice in the land. God was behind this thing with this drought. He wanted the people to come to the place that they're going to have to. They're going to have to want an answer. They're going to have to want something. They're going to have to make a choice. And it's just like today, America's in a place, and we need to see that America's in a place right now that we nationally have to make some decisions. The church is in a place where they need to make some decisions. They're going to have, do you like the way that it is, or do you want to see change? You ain't going to see no change doing it the same way it's been done. If what's being done doesn't help. And see, as people need to see, people are going to have to come back to the Word of God, come back to what God says. We have very much today that is taught in American culture, is taught, and we mix the Bible with it, and we have it as biblical belief, and people think it's the Bible, it's the Word, because somebody added a scripture to it. You know, it's like years ago, I found that when I was in Vietnam, we used to read books all the time, and I read a number of books on psychology, and that they had passed around. You just read stuff to have something to read, to something to do, you know. You just couldn't, you know, wasn't a whole lot going on. If you were out in a base camp somewhere, you know, you just didn't get downtown at night or something. So there wasn't any kind of entertainment. So you'd sit around, you'd read books, and I don't know how many books I read. You know, I read loads and loads of books. But I read books on psychology, and I thought it was really funny because when I got born again, I come over and they started this Christian counseling stuff. And then I went over and started reading Christian counseling books, and they weren't nothing but the world's books. All they did was they threw scriptures in it. They just throw a scripture in it. That makes it Christian. That's all they were doing. They were finding scripture. So if you put it, now it's Christian counseling. No, it isn't. The world gave you the same thing. World will give you the same stuff. It's practicing the same principles. I got the best counseling book in the world. Right here it is. You know, my wife and I never had to go to a seminar to try to keep our marriage together. We stayed in the book. If people need all this stuff, you know why they need all it? Because they don't follow the book. And they go to a counselor who's going to tell them some things and give them some good psychology, throw a couple scriptures at them. Why not? Hey, why do you want to eat, you know, something that's been diluted? Why don't you just go eat the good stuff? You don't have to have the hamburger with the soy flour in it. I can just get the T-bone. They say, no, I want the healthy one will have the soy flour in it. It won't have as much fat. Oh, Lord. Anyhow. But see, the Bible will always lead you in the right direction. It'll keep you in the right direction. So anyhow, the Lord told me there was going to be a drought. And what he sent Elijah out for, when he sent him, we won't go back and read it, but he asked the people, I'm going to give you a choice here. He said, is the Lord God or is Baal God? Which is it? They said, people were silent. Why? They didn't know. Many people in the church world, even the church world today, don't know if God is really God. You wouldn't heard the things I've heard over the last number of years. Christians say, they don't know if God's really God or not. You know, they just get into religious practices. You can get into religious practices and doing things just because you go along and do it, but really not have a knowledge or a real belief in God. Because I find that people come along when something happens, man, it shows up real quick. It shows up in a hurry, what people really believe. And so, you know, we need to understand this. So they were in that position, but God sent the prophet out. And so what we have here is this, we talked about last week, and God used Elijah here, and anyhow, the prophets of Baal went and got their sacrifice out, did their thing, spent all day dancing around and doing that kind of stuff. Sort of like what we've done in America. We've been spending the last 20 years dancing around. America's been 20 years of dancing around, making hooping and hollering, and always coming up with some great idea that's going to solve all of our problems. And if we get the right guy in office, it's all going to get fixed. And we've been dancing around, and then, you know, whimping and whining, and then getting up dancing again. And we're back and forth and back and forth. Well, there's answers for us, and it's in the Word of God. So what we need is what is going to happen in this last day is we're going to need God to move. That's what we're going to need. You can go through all the rest of Remigramo. We can spend all this time worrying about elections and all that. If God don't move, we're going to stay on the same course. You know, now I know there's a lot of people excited about, well, the Republicans, they're going to get in and they're going to investigate all this stuff. They just passed all these laws. They passed all these things, you know, and that stuff they voted on and the Republicans did and all these good things. But you know what? None of those things are laws, so it don't matter. They passed them. If they don't get past the Senate and to the President and sign them, all that's for waste. And you know what they did the last time they held the Senate and the House and they had a Republican President? Well, before they got, before Trump entered office, there was a guy there, his name was Obama. Remember him? And he wouldn't let stuff go. Anyhow, the Republicans voted, I think, 18 times to get rid of Obamacare. 18 times the House voted and to get rid of it. And when Trump became president, they couldn't pass it anymore. The Republicans wouldn't vote for it. See, that was all show they did before. Oh, this is what we really want. Yeah, this is what we... See, right now they're putting on a show. I don't care what they do for the show. I want you to know what you do when you can get the job done. I don't care about the show. Because, see, they threw us under the bus the last time, and people say, well, don't you trust them this time? I'm sorry, they have a performance of not being trustworthy. Well, I would be stupid to say I'd trust them to do it. I'd be an idiot, like most Americans. Idiots. Like most Christians. Idiots. You can't trust somebody who don't have performance. You know? We'll find out about these new people that got in, if you can trust them. But right now, I don't know. It says, if you're faithful with little, you'll make ruler over much. Well, I got to see what they get faithful with. This is why we have such a mess. We don't follow Bible principles. Bible principles. Here the Bible is telling us, you know, when the Lord said there's going to be a great drought, I'll tell you what, there's sure been a great drought. And see, when spiritual things, there's a drought of spiritual things that flows into everything in life. People no longer trustworthy. People, you know, can say anything, do anything, and all this kind of stuff. That all, when spirituality is pulled away, there's no moral context anymore. God's the founder of moral context. There isn't none. That's a foundation of things. And so we need to understand the importance of that. Don't expect good things. When a church, and a church has thrown out moral context and all kinds of stuff. Things aren't, you know, there's no morality anymore in the church. And we're trying to have the world and we're trying to do something. You can't. Lying and cheating and stealing are all right. It's in the church like crazy. It's absolutely insane. And they're trying to turn around and say, you know, instead of following, you got to come back to the book. The book's right. If I'm doing something else, I'm wrong. The book ain't wrong. The book's right. Hallelujah. So we want to walk in line here. Well, the first thing that God did is we find out here that this prophet, one of the things that we read in 1 Kings in 18 and verse 36, I just want to say this. It says, it came to pass in verse 36, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things to at your word. He said, hear me, O Lord, hear me. That this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to them. The purpose of this, and we see by the prophet's prayers, number one is the humility that we need. Really, is in God's going to bring some humility. He's going to raise up some people with humility that don't want to be God. They want God to be God and they just want to be his servant. We need that in the church world today. We need more servants and too many people who think that they're something. It isn't about us being something. We need a move of God. And see, what the prophet is praying, Lord, let these guys know out here, this isn't about me, it's about you. You're trying to draw your hearts of your people back to you. And the Lord said the first thing he's going to want to do is he's going to visit his people. God don't visit the world first. He visits his people. When God came, when the Messiah came, did he go to the world? That's not the pattern. God will always visit his people first. And he will. He'll visit his people first. The whole purpose of this is concerning fire is about visiting his people. Because we're going to find as we go on to study this, we won't, you know, go into today, we'll have to go on. But we're going to find fire has to do about operating through his people. If he can't get cooperation with his people, he can't get fire moving. There won't be no fire. God's a God of fire, and we'll talk about it. So what happens here, when he prayed this, he said, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifices and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. So they had something to make a decision. You know, you get people that are away from God, they ain't in faith. You can sit and just preach all you want. We need a move of God. We need demonstration of God. And we need many of it for Christians. Because Christianity's moved so far away, they don't know if God's real or God's not. I don't know how many times I've heard lately, I've heard ministers talking about, you know, they talk about salvation, being born again, but they almost mock gifts and manifestations of the Spirit. Well, that stuff isn't around and that don't do it. It's like, that stuff happens. What are they going to do? Are they going to jump in? Or you keep talking against something and you'll have a hard time moving in it when it comes. You know, sometimes people are right about things. There's some things people need to be very careful about what they say, because too many people don't know what's God and what's not. And we need to find out, but they're saying things. And so we want to understand this. We're not going to go and read the rest of it, but one of the things that the Lord showed me in this thing when he spoke to me, he said the fire comes first, then he said the rain comes. You see, the church has been for years and years. This goes back to, oh my words, in the 80s, and we're supposed to be praying for rain. He said, we're supposed to pray for rain. Well, rain is good to pray for when you have fire. But you don't pray for rain when there's no fire. Rain is what falls after the church comes into line, after God's people come back to the fire, because God's people start moving in the Spirit. You need rain when seeds being planted, when the Word's being preached. You're preaching the Word to people, you want rain to fall. You want the Holy Spirit falling out like rain on people, making the Word real and alive, and the Word starts bringing forth fruit. People start getting born again. And so we need rain. The rain didn't come till after the fire. The church has got a reversal. We got to come back, come in line with the Word of God and get in line with the Word. And we need, it's a desperate need of this. There are certain things, the prophecies that have been said about this, about the fire of God. And we'll talk about it, because this fire, what this fire represents. And Hebrews 12:29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. So the Bible talks a lot about fire. Talks a lot about it, not from the kind, there's numbers of things you can look at. It talks about things physically burning and stuff, but talking about really from God's standpoint and things in fire. It's not something that is just, you know, said a couple times or happened a couple times. The Bible has a lot of it in it. And we want to look at some of the things. One of the things the Lord spoke to me is about, because of explaining things about the fire of God. See, when people hear about the fire of God, well, what is the fire? What is it? Well, looking in the Old Testament, we see things about fire. The Old Testament is a type and shadow of something. Always remember that. It's a type and shadow. What is it trying to show us? What is it? But we got to look and see in its, we can see some things in its usage concerning this. And, you know, in 1 Chronicles 21, we go there to read. In 1 Chronicles 21, we have there, because this thing with Elijah is not the first time that fire fell down and burned an offering up that was being done in Israel. This one here was taking place from David. Here in an instant, it's interesting because, see, David got into sin here. Now, David got into sin more than one time. You know, he got in sin with Bathsheba and got over and got things messed up. But one of the things David did was went along. God always told Israel they weren't supposed to number themselves. And actually, they weren't supposed. What they were doing was number themselves to find out how many fighting men they had. At the age of fighting men, most of the time when Israel was 20 years old, they would take from 20 to 50 years old was their army. And David got over and decided he was going to do a count. He was going to do a count, and his commander told him, the army said, don't do it, don't do this. And he said, no, and the king said, David said, no, you go out and you count. You go and go out through the land and you count everybody. And he said, come on, don't do it, don't do this. And he said about it, well, the commander went out, he didn't like doing it. He was out counting, and then finally he got tired of it and quit. He knew it was wrong. And David knew he was wrong too. He wasn't. But what happened was, and we need to understand this, this is a hard thing for people to get, but a plague fell on the children of Israel, and a lot of people in Israel died because of David's sin dealing with that. See, well, it don't seem like much. It don't seem, well, you know, it was a thing of faith. God always expected the people, you know, you don't have, see, Do I have enough men to win the war? Well, let me ask you, do you have enough God to win the war? That's what it is. See, we lost that a long time ago. We don't do that no more in America. We don't ask God. We only ask God when things are failing. That's the only time we ask God. We don't ask God. We're always worried about if we have enough to take them. No, do you have enough God? That's what you need to know. Is your God big enough, or where is he? Well, your God's as big as you believe. That's it. And if you ain't got much of a believing God in a God, you ain't got much. So I guess go do a count. You're going to have to do as much as you can physically. But he was over there. Anyhow, after all this happened, David finally, he admitted his sin. But this is always an interesting thing to me. Out in the middle of all this mess up, God sends David out. And David goes up to a guy's place. It's called Onan's threshing floor. Onan, and this is in 1 Chronicles in 21. And David went up there to sacrifice to Onan's threshing floor. And he goes up to this place and he says to Onan, I want to come up here and sacrifice the Lord. I want to buy your threshing. I want to buy this area. And Onan says, hey, king, whatever you want. I'll do that for you. I'll sell it. He said, I'll actually give it to you. David said, no. He said, I'll give you this and I'll give you the animals to sacrifice. He said, David said, I will not sacrifice for the Lord something that I haven't paid for. See, there's no sacrifice. See, people need to know this today. There's a big thing in this. Because there's a lot of people trying to sacrifice from somebody else's stuff. People don't work and earn things on their own. And they got this thing. I mean, we got churches today and in areas that are filled with people who are all on government assistance. And the whole church is run by somebody else, other people's money. The offerings they give, they don't work for, they don't do. They're giving out whatever somebody else gives to them. We need to understand this stuff ain't good. David understood a principle here. See, this gets really nosy to talk about this stuff. People get nervous. See, we need to teach people some things. David said, I won't do that. He said, I'm going to pay for it. He said, I won't do that kind of thing. Well, David then turned around and took that threshing floor. And it says, in verse 25, it says, so David gave Onan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the place. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called on the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire on the altar of burnt offering. Now, isn't this interesting? David just got in all this trouble, but he goes up there. You talk about God and forgiveness is phenomenal. He goes up there and follows what the word. He obeys God, does it. Now, you know what this place was? This Onan's threshing floor? This is the place where Abraham had brought Isaac and offered Isaac. This is the place where the temple mound sits today. This is the place. And all this mess up, God is moving. God has a plan. Now, this is the thing to me that's phenomenal about God. That's why you can't look at what's going on to determine what God will do and what God has planned. See, man sits down and tries to figure out, well, this is, or it'd be better to do it this way. But no, find out what God wants in doing. God, in all this mess, in the middle, all it takes is a man repenting. David's in sin. It's brought a plague on the nation. Tens of thousands of people have died because of this. David repents, and God has David by the Temple Mount. See, here it is. When they built the temple, they built it on the land that David had bought. And God marked the spot with fire. Fire came down. God's phenomenal. See, you would think, well, we at least have to repent and wait for another 10 years till God will forgive us really good. And then he'll move and do something. God really does forget when you repent. He really does. This is the old covenant. He really did. David went and offered to God what was required by the law for repentance. And God turns around and sets everything up for the temple. gets the whole thing started and marks the spot with fire. You got the right spot. That's God. Hallelujah. You see, we can't look today at all that's going on. If you're looking at all that's going on, you'll be the biggest revival stopper that there ever was. The church has become a dam instead of a river. Getting tied up politically and everything and all this stuff, worried about all this stuff, trying to consider what God can do because of what's going on. I'm going to tell you, we're primed for revival. I look around and say, things are so messed up, there is only one thing God could do is move. There ain't nothing else. Because there ain't anybody with any answers out here, naturally speaking, for anything. Oh, they think they got them. But every time they make a decision and do something, it ends up stupid anyhow. So it does. We need to come to think, this is prime time. God can move in the middle of this. God's just looking for people who want Him. That's what He's looking for. That really want Him. Instead of being a complainer about what's going on. Being a griper. I've heard Christians say, well, God, I've had people say this to me, that, well, God can't move. Things are just too messed up in America. God can't move. I've had people tell me, Christians tell me that. Spirit-filled. I don't know what spirit they got anymore, but it ain't the one I got. They've taken on the spirit of this world, and they walk around, and they talk about living by what you see. Say, I'm sorry. God spoke to me in 91 what's going to happen in the end. There's one thing that I know, but it's patterned from the Bible. There's going to be a movement. God will not send, Jesus will not come back without another move of the Spirit. God will always do a call. Always. Through Scripture, He always did. Always did. He ain't taking the church out of here without last call. Heck, he wants to give some reward to somebody. So He's going to have to get some people in the church straightened out. But there's people in the world that says, you know, it says in the New Testament that the husbandman is used in the term is used in the King James, but it says really is the farmer is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Well, who's that? Who's the farmer in this earth? It's God. God is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He ain't letting it alone. He's not going to let it alone in spite of what Christians will do. He's going to find somebody who will burn. He's going to find somebody. Somebody who's like gas. There's got to be somebody. That's what He's going to do. God always has. He's always sent a prophet. He's always sent somebody. He's always sent ones and getting things moving. So fire fell. In Chronicles, in 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, we have here in the building of the temple. Now think of this. This temple is built at this place. And Solomon has put the temple up. And then again, we have a demonstration of the fire of God. In 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, verse 1 says, Solomon had finished praying. This is, he's at the temple. This is the dedication. He said, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the people of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground and pavement and worshiped, praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. You see, the other group there we see, which is many years later, after Israel got into sin and divided, and right after Solomon got over. Solomon started off really great, but ended up really destroying the kingdom. It's because of him. He turned around and got over, and his liking women became his problem. He liked women more than he did God. And he just kept all them wives and concubines and everything. Well, let's get down what it was. Man, this boy had a harem and he was chasing women. And he started building. He would go to any nation and king. See, everybody, when you're on top, everybody wants to get close to you. I want you to know that. Everybody wants to get closer. Anybody who has any position of authority, people will always try to get, somebody's always trying to get close to them. Somebody always thinks, well, if I can just get close to them. See, people do those kind of things. Pastors deal with that all the time with, you know, people coming in. They'll come to a church. They think coming, they want to get close to the pastor. What they want to do is they want to get close to a person. They don't realize it becomes a problem. You know, I already got somebody close to me. I got my wife. Okay, that's all I need. I don't need any more women. And I will tell you what, the majority of the time, 90% of the time, it's a woman. 90% of the time, it'll always be a woman tries to get close to me. Always. Always. Last year I had a person, a woman, trying her best. Oh, she's just so spiritual. Till I finally got fed up with her. See, people do that. That's one of the things. You know, Kenneth Hagin, we used to always say about it, the Lord spoke to him about it, in fact, concerning ministers. The three things, major things ministers will follow: the gold, the glory, and the girls. It's what you always, things you watch for. The devil's always using those things, trying to get people, get ministers tripped up. He get ministers tripped up into things, and there's things that you always got to watch. And I found out there are things that you watch. Well, Solomon got tripped up in it, and he ended up building temples to their gods. See, he built this glorious temple, but he built a bunch of other temples too. Building a whole bunch of other temples to other gods. They talk about, man, all the wisdom he had. What good is wisdom? It wasn't put into use. And telling everybody else, giving them good wisdom. But he wasn't following it. Ended up in big trouble. Big trouble. Like you go over and read Ecclesiastes. I'll tell you, Ecclesiastes is a book written by a man who used to know God. And got in the flesh over so far, he wrote a lot of things in there, and you can just tell the heartbreak in a man. He's out in left field and can't get back. You know, let me say this, you need to understand about the Bible. Everything in the Bible is truly stated, but not everything in the Bible is true. There's things people say in the Bible that ain't right and it's wrong. There's a lot of people told lies that's written in the Bible. Everything is truly stated, but everything's not true. I've seen people use things as scriptures, and it wasn't the truth from God. It's what somebody else said. And because somebody else said it, don't make it true. See, we're fortunate concerning the New Testament, because the New Testament, we have the letters and things that were written by people who were doing teaching and instructing. There's a lot of things written in the Bible that are more from a historical standpoint of what went on. It's letting us know things in the background, but it don't make it true. There's lots of times in the Bible, there's people say God did certain things and he didn't do certain things at all. The devil did it, but they said God did it when God don't do it. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Well, all that destroying, was that him? Well, it couldn't have been. It said every good and perfect. Is destroying good? Boy, I can't wait till we get some really good destroying going on. How about that? Boy, we'd really have a good time. But see, when people in the Old Testament, lots of times people didn't know what was what or what was happening or what was going on. Everything was God did. If it happened, God did it. Man, we got the church world today like that, don't we? God's in control of everything. They did the same thing. You know, in the Old Testament, you don't see the devil did nothing, hardly. Oh, we have very little said about the devil. They had very little knowledge about what Satan did. They thought God did everything. And lots of times things were translated wrong. They were translated from the causative, and it wasn't causative. God didn't cause it. But that's the way they translated it. And it wasn't God causing it. And so we need to say that's why, you know, I think we're the most fortunate side. We have the Holy Spirit. We got the teacher in us. Church ought to be a lot more bright. Christianity ought to be a whole lot more brighter than we are. We're not listening to the Holy Spirit. We're not letting the teacher teach. And we want to do that. We don't want to get misguided. Well, you see, the people fell on their face here. They were a little bit different. The other group that under Elijah, they fell on their face. And They said, the Lord, He is God, the Lord, He's God. These people here seem to know God because they said He's good, His mercy endures forever. That group over there just found out He was God. Can you see that though? We went from a period of time when the people knew who God was to now Israel's over here and don't know who God is. They don't know. So you can ride to that place. Well, you get a drought of the Word of God. You get a drought. When you throw in what they did in Israel, they were killing all the prophets and they were running out God's ministers out of the land. We don't want them. See, we're in America doing that today. They don't want them. A lot of the church world don't want it. The so-called church world. They don't want anybody standing. They don't want anybody talking for God. They got their own talkers. We got our own stuff we're believing. Now we also have here, because we find in the book of Exodus where, speaking, concerning God in Mount Sinai. In Exodus 19:18, the word says this. He says, the Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended in a fire. Here we say, we saw God's a consuming fire. So it says its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. In Exodus 40:38 says, for the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So we find that fire shows up, and here we're finding that fire shows up. This is really from a side of glory. But we need to know this is looking at it, because we want to find this out, because we find fire in the Old Testament also brought judgment. Fire brought judgment. So we want to see it used in its context, because, everybody likes to get over that part that says, hey, if we got fire, it's going to all be really good. Well, no, the fire wasn't always really good. There's judgment. Well, we find this, if you finished reading the story in 1 Kings 18, the fire brought judgment on the prophets of Baal there, because when the people saw the fire, the prophet said, now kill the prophets of Baal, and they killed 450 prophets of Baal. So, in other words, judgment came, and they put the prophets of Baal. In other words, the Lord said to me, He said that was a type of their people put sin away. And see, that's what, when fire starts to move and people accept it, they'll start putting sin away. And so we need to know, sometimes people need to get the devil scared out of them. They need to come to the place, my God, there is a God, and I've been messing around. People need to come to that. I don't care how they do it, just let's do it. Let's get the devil scared out and get out of some people. Let's get some people over. We're trying to do this through seeker friendly, and all it does is lead to people become more worldly. Why? Because there's no fire. There's no fire in this thing. And so, we want to look at that. But we want to see this because we find out that there's fire dealt with the areas of judgment. In Numbers, the 16th chapter, if you go to, in that chapter, we can't read through that whole thing. The story there is these guys came along, and they're upset. When you read through the story of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, every once in a while, there was always somebody raised up stupid enough to think that Moses shouldn't be in charge, that somebody else. And well, we have this guy here, and his name's Korah, and this guy and a couple of his buddies, what they did, in fact, these guys are the other guy's name is Dathan, and there's Abiram. These guys got together and they said, hey, we can run the tabernacle as good as you guys can. The Levi, why you guys in the clan of Levi running everything? Who put you in charge? Well, God did. So you put him in charge. Well, they didn't like that idea. They said, we can do it. They said, we can offer sacrifice just like you guys can. We can go ahead. We can do it. And they said, we don't have to follow you guys. So Moses, Moses was a guy you didn't want to mess with. Because Moses said to him, well, you send your boys over here with their censers and come out here and we're going to burn fire before the Lord and you're going to light your censers. Come on. They sent 250 guys out there. So they sent food up to the tabernacle. And out in front of the tabernacle, they went out with their censers that they had, just like the ones that were used by the priests. And they run out there and they have 250 guys standing out there. And things went terribly wrong for them because verse 35 says, "And a fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense." Fire came out and burned them up. Now we're going to just go on to really dumb, what's really stupid. You know, people don't catch on quick. And you know, one of the things I think today, we have a lot of people I think are as dumb as this is with the story. Because this Korah and them, these guys didn't say, "Well, we blew it." They're still stubborn. Stubbornness. Now this is God's people. You know, this is into the 40-year bit. Dumb and Dumber. I mean, this would have made the movie. It would have been a better movie than the one they made. I never saw the one they made, but I saw a preview of it and I thought, "Oh my God, this would have been," because this is Dumb and Dumber gone to seed, because it's a whole group. So these three guys, and they're all their clans of guys together, they're still in rebellion. And Moses comes down and he stands in front of them and he says to all the people, "Get away from these people and their stuff. Move back." He said, "If something doesn't happen to them that is extraordinary, outside the ordinary things that happen, a destruction," he said, "if it don't happen," he said, "you know, I ain't leading this thing. I'm messed up. I'm out." And the ground opened up and swallowed them and all their stuff. Now you'd think, "Wow, the people, they'd fall on their face." No, they didn't. The people got mad and blamed Moses for killing those guys. Like Moses is an earthquake man or something, or he's the guy that can open pits up in the ground. That's how stupid people are. Wow, they must have a lot of scientists like our days. Even these Christian scientists are stupid as a day is long. They always try to figure out naturally how God did something spiritual. Just as dumb as a stick. And anyhow, so they got all mad at him, and a plague fell on him. Now, a bunch of them died. You know how that was stopped? The mercy of God. Moses turns around and says to Aaron's son was there, told him to go get a censer and that stuff, and then run out into the crowd. He said, "And stop this plague." I mean, he could have stayed back and let, you know, this plague started because of their sin. He could have just stopped and said, "Well, just let it roll, these ignoramuses." But mercy. Mercy, mercy to stupid, stupid. God is phenomenal. God is phenomenal. Now let's think about this. If you took from the natural, wouldn't you think, "Let it kill them"? I mean, anybody this dumb? We've had these two supernatural events take place, and they're still stupid. Now you think that's crazy. I've seen it in Christian. I've lived through these things. I've seen supernatural take place, and people are just skeptical. "Well, I don't know. I don't know. There could be trickery in that. You never know." Do you ever think about this? One place in the scripture talks, dealing with the Antichrist, talks about him. He had a wound. He was supposed to die, and he lived. And now most of the church world says the devil's a healer. Off of one incident in the Bible, yet we have all this through the Old Testament to New Testament, God healing people, and now that's gone away with. I mean, Christianity is sometimes the most stupid people. If you want to get in the crowd of dumb, join the church. They got plenty of them. One place in the Bible mentioned, and they have made that the top list of preaching. And when somebody's ministering healing, all the things it says in the Bible, nope, God don't do it. That's been done away with. A strange thing. I just want you to get a hold of this fact. Don't get the idea, when God moves by fire, that everybody, all the Christians are going to jump on board. See, I realize that what the Lord told Kenneth Hagin was right. He said, many people, they're going to reject the move of God. They're going to reject it. See, you have to know that, don't you? It's a strange thing. You'll have people in the church world. Now, he's talking about the people in the church world. Many of his people in the church world are going to reject it. Now, you'll see sinners will jump on board. You'll see sinners jump on board. They'll want to get healed. They don't care who's doing it. They have enough sense that if they're sick, they want to get well. Christians have been taught, no, stay sick, stay sick. God wants you sick. Spend all your money at the doctor. Just, you know, every nickel you got, spend it all there. Don't you dare go to, don't go to get healed. Don't go to somebody and then pray for you. Don't do that. And I always like it. You know, they don't believe in the healing stuff. Then they get real sick and they'll say, you know, to pray for so-and-so. For what? They don't believe in it. They have no faith that unless there's a move of God, it ain't going to work. There's going to have to be something besides. They believe they're going to be sick. See, we have a very strange... We need fire. Number one, we need fire. There needs to be a harvest. But first, before harvest, fire needs to fall. So Christians need to catch on fire. Christians need to catch on fire. That fire is about the Christian. We have fire fell in judgment with Elijah in 2 Kings, the first chapter. If you go to read there in 2 Kings, the first chapter, Elijah, there was Ahaz, this is in the 10 tribes of Israel who broke away. They got over there. They're all messed up. Ahab's been over there. He was the Baal worshiper, him and his wife Jezebel. Well, his son took over as king. He only made it 2 years as king and ended up dead because he followed in his father's footsteps. Now, can you imagine? Ahab saw the fire come down on the mountain. He was up there with it. He saw the fire on the mountain. He didn't change. It didn't change him. Baal worship is still going on in Israel. Baal worship. Ahab didn't change. Ahab dies. His son takes over. Ahaz. And this boy's out there. And it says he fell through the lattice from the second floor. So it was like, you know, he was on the second floor or something. It says a lattice. So it must have been like a railing for a balcony. He ended up falling over. Probably doing a selfie. That's what I was figuring. He was doing a selfie. Hey, I'm the king in the palace. And I can't wait till they see this picture. So he fell. And he said, sent some of his boys to go to Ekron to consult Beelzebub, another Baal, Beelzebub, who is the god. Go down there and see to what's going to happen to me. Well, they were on their way and Elisha met up. And Elisha said, don't bother going down there. I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. He said, isn't there a god in Israel that you got to send to go down to Baal? He said, you tell him he's going to die. And, well, the king didn't like that. Now, here's a guy that calls fire down. See, it blows my mind. I mean, I can't get past this stuff because humans are, you know, it's amazing. What God made us in his image and likeness, and we try to be dumb as we can sometimes. Humanity just... Anyhow, this dude, he sends a captain down there with 50 men and said, go bring that boy down here. See, the guy said, I'm going to die. I don't like it. He knew who it was. It was Elisha. He said, you go get that boy and bring him down here. And they go get there. And the guy, the captain stands down at the bottom of the hill and Elisha's on the top of the hill. He said, come down here. The king wants you. And he said, he called him a prophet. He said, if I'm a prophet, then let fire come out of heaven and fall on you and consume you. And it did. And it killed him, and it killed the 50 men. See, fire came and brought judgment. Well, here's how stupid people are. That ain't enough to scare the king. I mean, he sends another captain with 50 more guys. This ain't enough. Sounds like our Congress. We'll beat the same dead horse. You know, I tell you, every year the same stuff. Yeah, we're going to cut back on the spending. We're going to do that. Okay. But anyhow, so then he goes down. This guy pulls the same thing. This is round two. Fire comes out. Prophet of God, come down here. The king wants you. Well, it burned again. There's 102 guys fried. King ain't done yet. See, he must have fell on his head. I think he went down. That's what it was. He had a concussion. Anyhow, he sends the third one out. Well, now, you know, you start running. I'm sure probably the two he sent out were probably the two top boys of his captains. That's probably what. So he sends number three out. This guy ain't the big wheel of the bunch. And he goes out and says, man, I just want to come back alive. And he goes down and he says, Elijah, don't burn me up. He said, I come down. I just sent for the king. You know, please come down. You know, and I said, I don't want me and these guys dying. And then the angel of the Lord spoke to Elijah and said, don't be concerned. This guy won't hurt you. Go ahead and go with him. Smart man. But see, there's fire and judgment. See, we don't know much about this. You can be glad under grace we don't see things. The disrespect of people standing in the office of God and things, and even in the church, how people are treated. Disrespect. Now, this fire stuff, you know, must have got around pretty often around in the church world, because remember the disciples are out there and Jesus, they're at a place and the people reject him. And they turn around and say, hey, should we call fire down on them? You can see what they were taught. Let's call fire down on them. And Jesus said, you don't know the spirit that you're in. You don't know. But I want you to get across this. I want to talk because, see, we see fire in the Bible, but we see fire. We need to know that this fire and what has happened in these things are types and shadows of something that the New Testament is over in the New Testament. We'll go into that. We're not going to go into a whole lot of it today, but we're going to go into some things because we need to understand it's a type and a shadow. What in the New Testament are we looking for? What it is are we talking about? See, fire of God here was to change things. It was to do things. The whole thing of it is the fire was used to grab the attention of people. That's what it is. God's trying to grab attention, whether it's in judgment or whatever it was used in. He's trying to grab the attention of people. And so we need to understand this. People in that day, they didn't have the Spirit of God in them. They didn't have the Spirit in them. And so God is dealing with people and had to deal with them from the flesh. Because people didn't have the Spirit. They weren't born again. Their nature's wrong. But we see the types and the shadows of this use. When we see in the New Testament, we look here at John the Baptist and his announcement concerning about fire. We want to look at that. In Matthew 3 and verse 11, we're going to look there. This is John the Baptist making a statement about Jesus, or the Messiah at that time. The Messiah, he's going to make a statement. This is Matthew, the third chapter. He's going to make a statement. So we're going to find there's a things coming that are changing. Now here in Matthew, the third chapter in verse 11, speaks of Jesus, the Pharisee. He said, I indeed baptize you with water to repentance. So John's ministry was a water to get people to repent. You see, John is preparing God's people to meet the Messiah. That's what he's doing. Number one, we see there's a requirement of repentance. A requirement of repentance. He had a baptism to meet the Messiah that's coming. In other words, the whole thing of it is today, and we lost this, we don't introduce people to Jesus anymore from repentance, that they're a sinner, that they need. No, you just need to be saved so God can bless you. People need to repent. We see it in the book of Acts. They tell them the first message is about repentance. See, we don't do that anymore. It's about meeting God. Just stay the same. You know, you just come over. It's like I said last Sunday, I had been listening to a message to a minister. and he was preaching what he called a gospel message. And I was just listening to this thing here, it was just about 2 weeks ago. This minister says, we need to know people to accept Jesus, because if they don't, he said, they won't get all these wonderful blessings he has for them. Is that it? If they don't, they're going to face the wrath of God. It isn't about all these nice blessings you get. We accept Christ not for all the blessings you get. It's so you don't face the wrath of God. See, we have, and this guy said, see, we're preaching the gospel. He said it. I thought, no, you're not. You know, the guy might sit there and say, you know what? I don't want God's blessings. I like the blessings that I have. I like my life. Like, we had a guy recently, you know, we talked to him about accepting Christ, and he didn't want to accept Christ because he said, I like the way my life is, the way I have it. I like it is. Well, I told him, I said, you ain't going to like the way this thing turns out. I said, your life might be a lot of fun right now. You're having a great time, doing a good time, but man, anything you want to do, you never want to die. You don't want to ever leave this earth. Because you're going to say, I was the dumbest guy in the world. I wasn't having a good time at all. Look where I'm at. Well, see, we don't tell. This guy's just telling me, well, God has all these blessings. That's why he wants you, because he has all these blessings for you. No, he's trying to keep you from eternal damnation. God didn't deal with me about all the blessings of coming. He dealt with me. My family was going to face eternal damnation because of my life. It ain't about the blessings. He convinced me, the Holy Spirit convinced me that I was lost and I was going to send my family to the plain place I was lost. The devil wasn't going to torture me for eternity. I was going to face the wrath of God. Hell in the lake of fire isn't where the devil's use. That's where evil people go who don't accept Christ, and they face the judgment of God. Well, that don't sound very seeker friendly, Ed. I'm going to tell you, if you tell them the truth, they'd probably want Jesus a whole lot more. People, let the Holy Spirit convict people. Bring them to the place to the realization. There's a hell to shun. Amen. There's a lake of fire. I tell you what, I bet today there are people in hell cursing Christians that are on the face of the earth for lying to them. I bet money on it, cursing Christians on their lies that they taught about Christianity. No matter how much God loves you, you don't receive Christ. His wrath you will face for eternity. He sent Jesus so you don't have to. He loved you so much. Why? He has to deal with sin. And if you won't join His club, you don't get the benefit of His club. And the biggest benefit of His club, the thing I am most grateful for, I am not going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. I am so, I don't care if I get another blessing. I don't care if I drop dead tomorrow. That I know is, I drop dead, Ed goes to heaven even though he ain't too bright. He still ends up, God likes him.
Hallelujah.
I'm still his child. The greatest blessing of all. Hallelujah. And my family's a going with me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the most important thing. Come to that realization. All the rest of this stuff and money and doing stuff, people need to come down to what salvation is about, man. Not faith. I can't imagine. I cannot imagine facing the wrath of God. The word wrath means uncontrolled anger. I cannot imagine what God's uncontrolled anger must be. I can't imagine. I can't imagine God being out of control. Man, he won't be into shape being in control. What it must be out of control. I can't imagine. But not for a week, not for something, for eternity. I mean, I can't wrap my mind around that. And you know, most of Christianity can't. That's why there's a lot of rigid. They don't believe in hell because they can't wrap their hand, or they don't believe in the lake of fire. You know, If you take like a Jehovah Witnesses, they believe the lake of fire, people are thrown into it, they just burn up and everything's gone, you go to nothing. But see, people can't, when you try to think of things and you want to, people can't get their minds around this fact. That people will spend eternity in the place of the damned. This is what we're preaching about. This isn't just trying to get something. Saved, you know. Saved from the wrath of God. This God that loves me, if I don't accept Him, no matter how much He loves me, I still got to face the lake of fire. No matter how much He loves me. I mean, can you face the way? Understand, the Bible says this. God doesn't have love. It says He is. He don't have love for you. He is love. That's His nature. And love says this. You either accept my Son or you're going to have my wrath. That's what love said. Love said that. I didn't. Ed Gibson didn't start that. That ain't my sermon. I mean, that sermon I found in the book. A person who doesn't believe is going to face the wrath of God. And that was written after, so God so loved the world. See, we got stuck on God so loved the world, never told people the rest of the book, because we like this one here. Okay, we'll just get this part. We don't tell them, say, hey, God wants to say, you're going to face wrath. You're in a position. See, I was in a position to face the wrath of God. That's the position I was in. And God wanted to save Ed from that position. He wanted to deliver my family from what I was doing. And He did it by showing me what was going to happen to me and where I was going to leave my family. He said, hey, I don't want you to go there. You have to make a change so you don't go there. If I wouldn't have made that change, I'd have went there. Because I guarantee you I wouldn't have been alive today. You think I ain't right tight now? I was worse. I'd have killed myself for sure. But see, God wanted to, see, that's what we need to tell people. This is, we're living in a world, and here, like in America, we got a spiritual drop that is phenomenal. It is 100 times bigger than the actual Christians think it is. We hear somebody say, we preach the gospel, and immediately people think, oh yeah, people are preaching. Most Christians don't even know what the gospel is. They don't know. Because we've got this stuff that we got today. And I think, my words, people are leaving, going off this earth and off to hell. How did a Christian tell me this? A sinner died who had been messed up in drugs, just had a bad life, things got all messed up, and turned around and died, and a Christian said this. And I almost fell over. Said, well, they're probably better off. The person was unsaved. The average Christian, Christianity is nothing but about natural stuff. It's all about the natural. God and all this is about natural things. That person just went off. That person's in hell. And his sister-in-law, who is supposed to be a Christian, I bet he's cursing her today. He's better off dead. I looked at her and I said, what? Well, he's better off dead. And this is when I decided, I ain't going to talk to her about it. She's so stupid. This is dumb and dumber. I don't know which one she was. Probably the dumber. But a sinner dies and they're better off? It's like, whoa. See, when people only think in the natural, they don't look. Christianity is eternity thinking. That's why it says, you know, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow got its own stuff it brings. And we live in the world of what's going on tomorrow? Christianity's stuck there, worried about tomorrow. Live today like you're leaving. Be ready. Live, it's true. Hallelujah. I don't want to see people in hell. Hallelujah. Well, John went on to say, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now listen, he didn't say he's just going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. This is something that I found very... When I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I got the Holy Ghost and fire. I don't know if much Christians... I don't know. I don't see any fire. See, fire started operating through me when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. One of the things, and I thought for a long time, something, you know, what I was thinking was wrong, but I got over and reading into John G. Lake. And John G. Lake made this statement. Now, John G. Lake was filled with the Holy Ghost, but he definitely was a man of fire. I mean, he was on fire. But John G. Lake said this. He said, I don't understand. He said, today, when he came back up from Africa and came back to the United States in ministry, he said, I understand people. He said, people get baptized with the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues, but there's no fire. He said, I don't understand not getting baptized with the Holy Ghost. Because you know why? We don't preach it. Baptism of the Holy Ghost is about fire. Baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost to get fire. Fire is the demonstration, manifestations of the Spirit. Speaking in tongues and not having manifestations of the Spirit, you ain't got no fire. Just because somebody spoke in tongues. See, this is why we need an outpouring of the Spirit again. We need fire. We need prayer. See, Israel had fire. The fire started down. They built the temple down there. But I tell you, years later, they're out there and ain't no fire. So God got to use fire to get people back. Today, we're happy with Christianity without fire. See, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, to me, being filled with the Holy Spirit, it was almost like getting born again. It revolutionized my life. It changed my life. Manifestation of the Spirit. But see, I was preached to that fire or the gifts of the Spirit would, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't just talk in tongues. You get manifestations of the Spirit. And when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, manifestations of the Spirit started operating through me. See, this is one of the things today, as Kenneth Hagin said this, he went to a church and a minister said to him, he went to church to preach, and the minister said, you know, for the last 2 years, he says, we've been praying every week. We have special prayer meetings and stuff. We're praying for manifestation of the Holy Ghost. We're praying for these things. And he said in 2 years, he said, we've been doing this steadily for 2 years. He said, if anything has changed, I don't know it. Well, Kenneth Hagin said, well, let me ask you this. Are you teaching on gifts of the Spirit? He said, no. He said, well, you've got to teach people about it so they have faith to operate in it. See, it's not enough to get people filled with the Holy Ghost if they don't know a thing about what comes with it. They all just think, I spoke in tongues one time and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. No matter how much you got filled with the Holy Ghost one day, you ain't filled with the Holy Ghost today because you were filled one day. The Bible teaches about fillings of the Holy Spirit. You may have got it at one time, but you got to maintain your fire. I don't know, you go to heat a house, you know, if you were doing it with wood stove or whatever else, you know, you just don't, you know, you don't have, well, the furnace was on last week. So, we got heat. Do you? We're all standing here shivering. Yeah, but the furnace was here one time. It was on one time. Does it work anymore? Well, I don't know, but I know we had a furnace. So it must be warming. We must be having heat. We must be okay. That's the church. Well, there's things you got to do, the Bible tells us. One of the things it tells you to speak in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in hearts of the Lord. It's one of the things you do, staying full of the Holy Ghost. Like you, most Christians never even sing in tongues. They never do it. That's singing in the Spirit. That ain't, you know. People don't do spiritual things but want to stay. Spiritual fuel is what makes the spiritual things burn, not physical. Now we can sing songs and that stuff here, but I tell you what, I don't know Christianity without me having songs. I got songs, man. I got songs in me all the time. I can say stuff coming out of my spirit will come out of my spirit. Well, it's no good if you don't do it. You don't ever use it. And you don't pay attention to even do it. You need to do it. We need fire. See, it's one thing we want it pouring out of the Spirit because God will get the fire rolling again when people ain't even trying to get the fire. God will pour out His Spirit. See, there's many people today that are said, well, we call it the Spirit-filled church. The majority of the Spirit-filled church is not Spirit-filled. They don't do things to be Spirit-filled that go with the Spirit-filled life. It's important that we do. We need to understand these things. It's not criticism. It's just what it is. You know? Praying in tongues. And, you know, I prayed a couple hours in tongues this morning. I was thinking about sleeping, but I had woke up. Decided I was going to go to bed early because we're leaving later today. And I thought, well, I'm going to go to sleep this morning. But I went to bed early, so I woke up real early. I said, boy, that did a lot of good. But I thought, well, I'm here wide awake. I'm going to use it. So you sit and pray in tongues. And praying in tongues. The Bible says, building myself up in my holy faith. You know what happened to me when I was praying in tongues? Not a thing. I didn't feel nothing. But the Bible says I'm building myself up in my holy faith. You know what? When something comes up, the lion comes out. This is why the lion don't come out with people, because people ain't got no lion to come out. They don't build themselves up in their most holy faith. The Bible says it, and they talk about it like it's true, and they said, I was filled with the Spirit. We'll see how much you got when the lion needs to come out and he ain't there. When there ain't no roar, when it's, pray for me. I need help. Now, when the lion comes out, I'll pray for you. Hallelujah. I'll take care of mine and yours. That's what you want. Hallelujah. We need some Elijahs. See, we do these. This is not something to expect God to move. See, people expect to have strong faith for things and faith to work, doing nothing spiritually. The inner man, the faith ain't enough in the inside to produce nothing. I don't care if you can say all the scriptures you want, say you believe all what you want. What? How much power's in there? What for powers? What's on the inside? See, it's about power on the inside. There's got to be power. You know, you can have the best flashlight in the world. You have the greatest light you ever have, but you got dead batteries in that thing. Well, who cares what you got? This is what the church is, running around saying, we got a great light, we got this, we got that. How's the batteries? What batteries? Do they ever have any? Batteries. How do you charge them? Well, praying in tongues, saying praise God. That's why all this Thanksgiving. This is what, this stuff with fellowship with God and that stuff. This is all about building us up on the inside. I ain't building God up. He don't need no building up. I'm the guy. I'm the guy that needs build up. See, you go up there rubbing next to the guy who's got all the energy. I'll tell you what, it'll get on you. You can't get in fellowship with God and not get on you. You can't get, you know, whatever you hang around with is the energy you're going to have. What is most important with you? People spend all their time rubbing up against a lot of dead stuff. Spend all their time and wonder why they don't have much. They don't have much power. God, you know, iron sharpens iron. Paper don't start. You hang around paper. You end up like paper. That's what you do. See what you hang around with. See, this is good preaching, folks. Amen. See, we need fire in the church. We need to bring fire back to the church. That's why we need a move of God. No politician can give you this. There is nobody out here. There is no Republican that can give you this. Right now in Congress, you tell me one guy that's on fire as a Christian down here. They can tell, hey, there's guys, I'm telling you, they're Christians, and they're nice guys, but I ain't seen fire. Because I'll tell you what, they'll hate your guts if you get fire. That's what, see, fire will be, you're going to have a divide. Fire will bring a divide. Remember what Jesus said about that? We had read that before in Luke 12:49. Let me read this to you. I'll read to you. Jesus said, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were kindled already. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Now he's talking about this baptism unto death, what he's doing. He says, do not suppose that I came to give peace on the earth. I tell you, not at all, but rather division. Fire will bring division. Fire brings division. Fire divides who wants God and who don't. All through Scripture, whoever had fire and who did, it divided things up. Always did. It divided stuff up. Fire brings it. See, See, if all I'm running up and up with people and they don't like fire and that stuff, you stay, well, you know, if I want to keep them my friend, I got to stay over here in this area. It's pretty cool. Remember the book of Revelation? And the book of Revelation talks to the one church. And it says about him, you're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. I'll spew you out of my mouth. As Jesus said that. Ed didn't think that one up. Oh, that secret friendlies, they preach that all the time. You know. Lukewarm. God wants fire. God wants fire. See, he knew the end time, there'd be an end time church. It would be the lukewarm church, and people would follow after it like droves. And the day a fire comes, it's going to cause a lot of problems. Because see, there's a lot of leaders, they've done really well in this lukewarm church. They've gotten tons of followers. They've gotten tons of money. They've gotten tons of recognition. And people pat them on the back. You're a wonderful guy. You're a Christian. Look at all you do. Look at all you've accomplished without God. It's amazing. Look at all you do. And I don't know why Jesus is even around. You could just take his place. But fire will come. It'll cause division. Jesus said so. I think he's right. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against father-in-law. Look at Jesus' ministry. Did it bring great? Israel just came together. You know what his problem was? Fire. Fire. They either hated him or loved him. Hallelujah. Now see, this is why the Lord told me, he said, you need to explain him, because he said, Christians have the idea that if God really moves and demonstrates himself, that everybody's going to jump on board. It isn't going to happen. It hasn't been historically. Now sure, you're going to see sinners come to the droves. Why? We're fortunate from this. A lot of our sinners today ain't even religious. They know nothing about God. They ain't heard this dumb stuff. It's the people been sitting in the pews listening to stupid. And have been told for the last 3 decades, healing and all that, somebody doing that, that's the devil. Why? We have one scripture in the Bible where the Antichrist got healed. So God, the devil must be healing. It's amazing. It is amazing. But I'm going to tell you what. I don't care what anybody else does. I want fire. And God told me fire would come, and I ain't leaving it alone.
Hallelujah.
Number one, my number one heart is with the church. I want Christians back following God. I want Christians on fire. You can't reach the world without it. Christians who are not on fire will not reach the world. They'll preach, well, Jesus just loves you. And you'll convince them he loves them so much that they don't have to do nothing. And they'll just end up. There's people out here in this world. There's ministers out here that are reaching out today that are actually, they're reaching these people that out there need help. But really, most of the church ain't even helping them. But they're reaching out to them, preaching the true gospel, and people want it. The Holy Spirit does not back up your gospel. He backs up the gospel of Jesus. He does not anoint you to preach what you think is right. He anoints, and he will convict the world of sin. That's what he's here to tell them they're convicted. Every sinner. I was convicted by God. It wasn't God. I was found guilty in the court of God as a sinner destined to hell and the lake of fire. Do we tell sinners that? You've already been found guilty. You don't believe in Jesus, you're guilty. You're guilty of sin, and that's your punishment. There's only one way out of it. Only one, and that's Jesus. God so loved the world that God said, I will do anything to save these people. If they'll just respond to my son, I'll redeem them. I'll set them free. That they don't have to face that, but they have to come to that. The Holy Spirit, when He showed me my destiny. I was already convicted of sin. God wasn't one day going to stand before Him and say, well, Ed, you know, we've been just looking over the book and you did a lot of bad things, so I think you're going to end up in hell. No, that was my destiny without Christ. That was the conviction that was already set upon every man. And that was set upon me. I was already convicted of sin. I was already sentenced to hell. It wasn't something when I heard the gospel one day and I was going to make a decision to see, well, let's find out which way I'll be convicted. No, I was the convict brought in and said, hey, you want to get out of this thing? There's a guy that took your punishment. If you respond to him, you get his verdict of life that he gave you. That's what you get. And if you don't, the sentence stands. The sentence stands. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. See, I believe in repentance. Thank God we can repent. Thank God we can turn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it didn't stop there because I tell you what, I've used repentance numbers of times. Hallelujah. Not to get saved, but you know what? To get sin out of the way of my life. To keep me from walking in the glory of God. I want to walk in God's glory. I don't want to walk... I don't want this get by Christianity stuff. Well, we're just going to go to heaven one day and it's just going to be nice. This is this, whatever else. I want to just tell you this. Jesus is real and you will have to face Him. And you're going to, every one of us is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says so. You've got a judgment coming. And you're going to be judged according to what you've done in the flesh here. And if you've done lots of flesh stuff and haven't repented, you're going to hear about it. And whether you get any reward or don't.
Well, I thought God loved us and we were all just going to end up in this nice place and playing violins and harps and, you know, floating on clouds. Big fat babies with wings are going to fly around.
Well, that'd be some good preaching, wasn't it? It's in the New Testament, but it ain't preached. No, that's not secret friendly. That's not Christian friendly. Hallelujah. You know what God wants? God wants you. That day come when you stand before Jesus and He says, well done, good and faithful servant.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's reward for you. That's what He wants. That's what this is about for us. We have a choice how we're going to face Jesus, not somebody else. You're going to determine that yourself. That's why I want some fire. I want some fire. Fire's a good thing. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. A lot of ways we could have gone with this today, but I think the Holy Spirit, especially in the areas dealing with fire, God wants us. It's one of the things we want to pray for. See, pouring out of the Holy Spirit is a hugely important thing. All through time, God visited His people and would pour out the Spirit. In these last days, there's going to be a pouring out of the Holy Spirit like people have not seen on the face of the earth. But I want you to know this. Not every Christian is going to get on it. Many, many Christians, even Spirit-filled Christians, are happy with their lives the way it is. They're happy the way it is. They're not interested in fire. They're not interested in that. You know? We have this thing, you know, because you're going to deal with the thing. I remember when I first got saved and got filled with the Holy Ghost, I thought people would really be excited about it, you know? God had me sent me to a church. I'm a young Christian. And, you know, I'm on fire. And I found all these older, Spirit-filled Christians, man, all they had was buckets of waters and rocks. They didn't want no fire. Number one, who is this young guy? How come God, this can't be God using him? Because if it was God, He'd be using us, and He couldn't have used them for nothing. They didn't know nothing they were doing. They just thought because they baptized the Holy Ghost one time and spoke in other tongues, there was a spirituality. See, I didn't know about it. I went to that church just totally ignorant. I thought this was the cool. I thought all these Spirit-filled people would sure know about God manifesting gifts of the Spirit. But I didn't know a thing about it. And then God had the pastor tell me to teach the adult Sunday school class. And so I get up there teaching about fire, and they don't like me. Because, who is he? You know, this guy here. These people that God don't manifest through, and they're knocking the guy that it manifests through. They don't like it. So you'd think they'd like all this stuff. And I'm sitting in this church, and I'm having a hard, hard time. Because I have to teach. And when every time you get up teach, it's like, oh, man. It's rough sledding. It's like sledding on rocks. You know, you ain't going nowhere, and it's always pulling against you. You can always feel it pulling against you all the time. They don't like it. But you know what? God saw Ed in his misery, and He sent a prophet from down in Texas. Remember him? Yeah, Ivan Tate. Now Ivan Tate, I was in a service. Now Ivan Tate, so here was a man that. One thing I learned about him, he prayed in tongues all the time. He just prayed in tongues and prayed in tongues. But this guy, the one night in one service, he got up and the Spirit of God was on him, and it was the Spirit of God. He started calling people out and started saying things, and I thought, here's this guy, he knows nothing about this congregation, first time he's ever been to the place. And, I mean, he's reading people's mail. You know, this can get pretty a nervous thing for a lot of Christians. So you don't like that. God reads your mail. But I'm just going to tell you this. God's not going to embarrass you in front of the people unless you've been an embarrassment. And I'm serious, He don't. He's not going to say things to try to embarrass you. That'd be the whole defeat of a thing that He would do to try to get you to move forward. He'll tell you things that nobody else could know so you'd realize, hey, this is God talking to me. But this man would stand there and he would start quoting scriptures. He would have scriptures for people. And I mean, scripture after scripture about a person's problem. And I tell you what, you knew it was God unless he memorized the whole Bible. I don't know. But this guy had scriptures. Some of them were so obscure. Does the Bible really have that? But the anointing's on him. And he's doing it. He's going through it doing this. So I sat there. And there's some people, he asked the people wanting to minister to them at all, or pray for them and stuff and things. And I didn't go. I was sitting there and I didn't go up. And he finally looked at me and he said, stand up. And he said, and I stood up and I thought, oh no. Here we go. But he said, you're a teacher sent from God. I thought, wow, I didn't quite know that. I didn't know if I was or not in this place. I didn't know if I chose this or what. He said, you're a teacher sent from God. And he said, I see you. And he said, you have bread. And he said, you tear it off, give it to people. And he said, they sit there, they're complaining. He said, they tell you it's too hard, it's too dry, it's too many seeds. He said, they throw it back to you. I thought, dear Lord, he does know what I'm going through. I'm out here tearing off. And man, they're just throwing it back at me. And he taught me a lesson then. It's a wonderful lesson. And you need to know this lesson. Because there's people you're trying to be God to. He said, don't worry about them. He said, give it to the people that want it. And after that, I tell you what, I don't even pay, like in service, when the anointing's on me, I can tell when people are pulling and ain't. I'll just preach to the people that are pulling. I don't care what happens, yeah, that's their problem. I've learned to feed the ones that want it. Just give them the bread. Give them the bread. The ones that want it, give them the bread. You need in life to learn that about people. There's people you're just trying to drag along and they're a burden. And there you try to forget it. Look for somebody that wants it and give it to them. Jesus said this, you go to a town, they turn you down, shake the dust off your feet and leave. We think it's our job. We've been taught about, no, you just keep after, and all we do is drive people further away, wear ourselves out. After a while, we never even want to tell anybody about Jesus anymore, because we've done ruin it ourselves. Preach. If you don't want it, I don't talk to them about it again. Amen. God has told me to talk to them. I don't bother. Shake the dust off my feet. Mm-hmm. Boy, I found out it makes life a lot easier. There's a lot enough tough things you'll face in life without having to do that. Why wear yourself out? So he said, that's what he got. I tell you what, just it left a relief off of me. Because see, I thought, man, God gives you this gift. You gotta make people take it. You know, you gotta get. No, I don't make it. I don't buy it. People don't want it. Don't matter to me. I've already ministered to people and told people to go sit down. You know, had one time a woman stand in front of me, laid hands on her. Lord, she had a back problem. I laid my hand on her. The Lord said, tell her to bend over and stand up and then bend over again and stand up. And I said, the Lord said, you're supposed to bend over and stand up and then bend over and stand up. She said, I don't want to do that. I said, go sit down then. And I just went on the next person. Well, you wasted my time here. What on earth did you come here? Well, go listen, if you didn't think I was hearing from God, then what on earth did you come for? See, I ain't got time. Just take the bread and give it to somebody else. See, if somebody else wants healing, knucklehead, sit down. Shake the dust off your feet, leave. It's good preaching, folks.
That's great preaching.
Say, up there, come up there. Well, see, I want it my way. Well, you get it over. You just go visit Frank Sinatra and have him lay hands on you. He did it his way. We're doing it God. God said to me to tell you to do something. If you don't want to do it, go sit down. Don't go up to a minister to get ministered to it if you don't want to listen to what he has to say. What's the point?
Preach.
And people say, well, why? Oh, that was embarrassing. No, she was embarrassing. You know, Smith Wigglesworth was standing up ministering to a guy. He ministered, laid hands on a guy. A guy came up the next night, he had hands laid on him. Smith Wigglesworth said, you were up here last night and I laid hands on you. He said, well, I didn't get healed. He said, you liar, I laid hands on you. You're healed in the name of Jesus. And the guy said he wasn't, and he kicked him in the rear end and made him get off the stage. And you know what? The congregation got mad. And don't realize, they lifted the anointing. Because they were more interested in the unbelief than the believing. And you find that in most crowds. You take the person who's the most problem and the church will get behind them and stop the anointing of God because all these compassionate, loving people. Oh, the Holy Ghost gets weird, I tell you. See, he you know what? We got to be taken out of our comfort zones and our places.
Amen.
See, today, ministry is run by emotion instead of anointing. People are moved by what looks the worst or the looks of who's the neediest. And that's what runs ministry. We don't let the Holy Ghost run ministry. The most needy might not be at all the person that you think. There's plenty of people. I'm just telling you, there's loads of people who love to be poor. They love to be on the thing where you have to give to them all the time. They love it. And they're going to live there and never leave that spot because we've learned to comfort them in it, keep them there. You know, we're always running around chasing the poor. Don't the rich need saved too? Not in the Church of America. No. Why? Because you can buy a poor person with a hamburger or a hot dog. But you can't buy the rich guy. You're going to have to offer him something better. Probably the gospel. That's going to be something new. The Lord told me that years ago over the city of Lebanon. He said he was going to bring wealthy people here. But the church ain't going to try to reach them. Because the church in Lebanon, their whole ministry is to the poor. We're going to keep them poor. They have to trust us for their next meal. They have to look to us. What the government doesn't give them, we will. And they will never have to believe for nothing. My words, we even got people and they even work jobs and do pretty well, but they can still go and get stuff all the time. Where's the Holy Spirit? I mean, old Jesus got a tax collector named Matthew. I'm sure that was a stir in the crowd. I bet that was a stir among the other disciples. He picked a sinner who was rich. There wasn't nothing worse to be in Israel than be a Jew who was a tax collector. That was the worst of the worst that they hated. And Jesus picked a guy. He picked a guy that God chose. God chose Matthew. Hallelujah. Being poor ain't going to make you spiritual. I know that. I have met very few poor people who are really spiritual. I haven't. It isn't that they can't be. Now, I've been to other countries, there's people who are poor, but here in America, most poor people don't pay much attention to God at all. And even if they're Christian, they don't pay much attention to God. They're too busy going to places getting stuff free. They ain't got time for that. They got 10 places you got to go all week to get stuff, you know. And then you got noon meal. Okay, I'll stop. Hallelujah. What we got to do is bring the Holy Spirit back to the church. We need the fire of God. We got to have something to offer besides just natural things. Who cares? We're sending full bellies to hell being good. Children are growing up in paganism and so-called Christianity all around them. Things got to be done. And it ain't going to be working doing the things we're doing. Father, I just want to thank you. Lord God, we need fire. Hallelujah. Lord God, we need fire. Lord, without your fire falling, Lord God, it's man coming up with his ideas, man and his thinking. Lord, we need supernatural. We need manifestations of the supernatural power of God. Hallelujah. Father, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit in manifestation through your people. Hallelujah. Father God, when you caught Kenneth Hagin up to heaven back in 1966 and you showed him what was going to happen to America, and Lord God, we're living right now in the middle of what he saw. Right in the middle of it today, Father God. We're living in it. Hallelujah. We're seeing this socialism, they call it socialism, we called it back then communism. And that's what it is. We just made a nicer term for it. This communistic, atheistic communism. Atheistic because it's the government, your God. And Lord God, you told them that was going to happen in America. And you said people in high places and authority are going to fall for it and go for it. But you said, Lord God, you showed him because he asked. He said, is this all we have to look forward to? He said, in America, is this the end? And then he said he saw this mountain of fire was coming toward the earth. A mountain of fire. And he said it broke up into pieces and it fell on the heads and on the hands of men. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. And then he said, they're going to go forth. They're going to go forth. This fire is going to come. Hallelujah. Lord God, we want the fire. Lord God, we want the sacrifice, the rocks burn up. We want the water licked up and we want the dust burnt. Whatever it takes, Lord God. Lord God, we want a demonstration of the Spirit of God that so shakes this nation and this world. Hallelujah. Father, that it'll shake the Christians. People will either get in or out. Lord God. Lord, because there's a harvest. There's a rain that'll come. Then that rain will come. Oh, Lord, then when we call out for rain. Lord, then when we pray for the showers. Hallelujah. We're the rain for the early and the latter rain in the same season. Hallelujah. It's going to fall. Torrents of rain on the earth. Hallelujah. The seed springing up, Lord God. Hallelujah. Fruit. Hallelujah. Fruit gathered into the kingdom of God. Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, that's what we want. That's what you're looking for. You've been waiting for that. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we're calling for it. Amen. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father, we're not going to be denied. We're not going to be denied. We're going to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Lord God, you said we would be filled with it. Hallelujah. We want filled with what's right, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, we want to be a people to burn. Hallelujah. To burn in your presence and to burn for the people of this earth, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father God, that your glory is revealed, that men would know, as just as Elijah prayed. They know that we're just servants. Hallelujah. But Lord God, it's you calling your people back to you. It's you calling your people back to you again. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father God. Thank you. Lord God, our expectation is great. And we thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Father, I just appreciate your stirring us up. Lord God, we've all had a fire in us. But Lord God, it's much of it just going down to a little bit of hot coals, but you're stirring that up. Hallelujah. You're stirring those coals up in us. Hallelujah. Lord God, so the flame come back again. Hallelujah. And there's fire to fall on us. Fire to fall on us. Hallelujah. Father God, we want hands of fire to lay on people. We want hands of fire to demonstrate your glory to man, that man knows there's a God. Hallelujah. So we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, as we leave this place today, Father God, Lord, it isn't good enough. I want more. I want more. Lord God, we're limited. We're limited, and I can just see it. Lord God, we're limited in our seeing. We're limited in our understanding. Lord God, I want to thank your eyes are being opened. Our eyes are open to comprehend and understand. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. Oh, and we need you to instruct us. We need you to reveal to us that these words are not just nice things on the page. They're not just good things said in some time past. But God, Lord God, we want these things to be life to us right now. Right now. Living words. Living words. Words that are alive. Hallelujah. Father God, we want to be filled with them. Filled with them. Filled with them, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 The Spirit says, I've set things aside, and I've set things in a place and waited for a time. For I have seen, as being the Lord, the future. And I've seen this day arrive, and I've seen this time come. I've seen all the conditions that men have been in and men have walked in. But I've set things aside for this time, and I have waited to bring that glory forth. I have waited for the days, as you call and say the fire, I have waited for these days that I could bring it forth. And I have a people who will stand before me who will bring it forth, who will call on me. Yes? And I say to you today, will you be one that will rise up and call? Will you be one that rises up and says, Lord, Lord, oh, that I would be changed, that I would be made different. Hallelujah. That your fire would fall on me. That your fire would come. Hallelujah. Oh, not so I can be seen or heard, so that Jesus can be glorified through me. That Jesus Christ can be shown. Yes, yes, yes. Humble yourself. See. See your great need, because your need is great. Your need only heaven can fulfill. Men cannot. There is no one that can give you what you really desire, because you look on the inside. Oh, many things you say you desire, they're very superficial and they're on the surface of life. Oh, but you look in your heart. Look in your heart. That place where I fellowship, that place where I walk. Look at that place today. Set your eye upon it and see. Oh, there's a cravings and desires that you will see in that place. There's longings that you have in there in that place. And they need to come forth. Yes, and in this day and time, I have set things in place to bring that forth. To bring that forth. Oh, and I'm waiting. I'm waiting. And all of my people, oh, they can come forth and step into that place and be fulfilled. Oh, but not all will. Not all will. Some will come forth quickly. Some will come forth quickly and say, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Do what you desire to do. Here am I, Lord. I can see. I see what I really need. I see the desires that I must have. I can see them. Some will wait till others catch on fire. Then they'll come. They'll come. Oh, yes, they won't jump into it till they see somebody else doing it. Then they see somebody else walk into it. But I'm glad, says the Lord, for they will get in. For they will come in. Hallelujah. Oh, but I ask today, will you lead the way? Amen. Will you lead the way? Hallelujah. Will you choose in your life? Which will you do? Hallelujah. For I'm the Lord, and I reach my hand out to you. For I long to fellowship with you. I long to reveal myself. I long to put my hand on you, that you burn in glory. Hallelujah. Oh, that men come from the north, the south, and the east, the west to call on the name of the Lord. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Come to me, all you that are labored and heavy laden. For many in my church are in that condition right now. Labored and heavy laden. But I am the one who will give you rest. For my anointing, hallelujah, will put strength in you like you have never known before. My anointing will come upon you. And you will go forth with great joy and vigor. Hallelujah. Oh, to carry my precious words. To carry my precious anointing. Hallelujah. To bless and to be a blessing. I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we just respond to you and say, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Lord, I am so thankful that in this land that I live just here, Lord God, you're not going to pass by. Hallelujah. There's going to be a call. There's going to be a great call that's going to go out. Hallelujah. And nations of this earth, there's going to be a great call that goes out. Hallelujah. Again, before you return. And I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the call. Oh, your love is incredible. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I don't know, I preach me happy. Thank God for the anointing. Hallelujah. Thank God for the anointing. I'll tell you, if there's anything God, we're going to talk about that boldness. That's one of the things we're going to begin to look at, things to pray about, because the Lord spoke to me of things about this day and time concerning the fire. Hallelujah. The fire. And we want to, you know, want to talk about things with fire, because we have in our day and time, and during the church age, there's demonstrations of literally a fire. There's been demonstrations and things. We'll talk about those things there, because they're signs for a purpose. We haven't had people burning up, but anything like that. But they're demonstrations. They're done by God to show that there's concerning the move of the Spirit in places. And so we may see those kinds of things. Hallelujah. But the whole thing is whether we see flames or we don't see flames. One thing that God wants to do is through each believer to manifest gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's the true fire, and that's the true glory of God that He wants. That's what He wants, that He can demonstrate Himself so people can come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The world needs to see there's a God. Just talking about it ain't going to do it. This is why we're trying to reach the people today. The Seeker Friendly Church came along to reach without anointings and Holy Ghost, without demonstrations of the Spirit, is to reach people without them seeing God. And so they do them, tell them, well, it's all right, you can sin as much as you want, you can do whatever you want, you'll live, and you'll be all, just accept Jesus, and it's all right. But God wants to show Himself. Hallelujah. And I don't want to be a dam in the road. Glory to God. Lord bless you, and have yourself a wonderful, wonderful week.